It is well accepted that Jaws is an all-time great film, but its progeny don't rank nearly as high. Two True Freaks is proud to present Is It Jaws, where Paul Spitero and Sean Whalen are joined by an all-star list of guest hosts to review old and new films and place them on the Jaws scale, where they're ranked from Jaws to Jaws 4. Of course, for the purposes of the show, that scale does take some liberties with their actual ratings. Sure, movies that are given the ranking of Jaws are considered classic films with few flaws, if any. A ranking of Jaws 2 indicates that the film is very good and worthy of repeated viewings. A Jaws 3 ranking indicates the film was okay, but that's all. A Jaws 4 means it's ranked as a bad movie. Oh, and if you ever saw Back to the Future Part 2, you know that there's a Jaws 19. That ranking indicates that the movie is so incredibly bad that it's actually fun to watch as a result. So please join Paul and Sean as they ask the ever-important question, is it Jaws?
From a million to one shot, he became a true champion of the world. Now, the glory.
Because of the continuous violent blows to the head, the effects are irreversible.
The crowds.
My husband is retired. He has nothing more to prove.
And the money are gone.
You lost millions.
Look, I still got my place in the old neighborhood.
His title is in the hands of a new champion.
He might win a few fights, but he's no Rocky Balboa.
Controlled by an unscrupulous promoter.
This is your medical report. It's not so good, but we can work around it.
All that's left is his family.
We've been down before. I'll get it all back.
His heart.
I gotta fight, okay? I got problems, I gotta fight.
And a dream. A dream to get it all back.
This is a tremendous opportunity.
Opportunity for who? For you to make money for him to be disabled?
You know he can't carry Balboa's cups.
As long as they got Balboa on the brain, he'll always be champ.
Got to challenge that man to fight. And if he refuses, then you got to insult him. You got to dog him. You got to humiliate him. You got to do whatever you got to do to get him into that ring.
Hey, Tommy, you're a piece of garbage, you know that?
No! That's it!
You told him I'd fight anywhere, anytime.
In the ring, in the ring. Tommy Gunn only fights in the ring.
My ring's outside.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Come on, Tony, knock me out!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Is It Jaws? I'm Paul Spitero, and I am here, as usual, with my co-host, the fighting Sean Whalen.
It's a pleasure to be here today.
Pleasure to have you. And we have our two pugilist experts with us, Mr. Chris Tyler.
Touch me and I'll sue.
And Mr. Andrew Leyland, who was silent for some reason.
I said something. You just ignored me, which is fair enough.
That's, you know why? Because I was paying attention to this new young person that I'm training, and I couldn't be bothered with you.
The vacuous non-entity with a bad mullet.
We are here today to look at 1990's Rocky V, and I'm going to tell you I am struggling with this one. I love the Rocky series. This is the only one I don't. So it bothers me that they made a movie with the characters that I love, and they managed to make one. They managed to fumble the ball, as far as I'm concerned, on this one. And I'm struggling with, you know, where I'm going to end up at the end of this conversation when I rate this one. Because there's three choices for me on this one, and none of them are Jaws 1 and Jaws 2. So we'll see where we go with that. I have seen every movie in the Rocky / Creed series in the theater. I don't remember coming out hating this, but I don't remember coming out loving it either. So it's probably consistent with what I'm saying right now. I think I came out, you know, if I was a cartoon character, I would have had that little gray cloud over my head, and I would have been scratching my temple, wondering what I thought of it. Did we all see this in the theater?
I didn't see it when it was originally released in the theater. This one I saw in the theater. I started with the Rocky series with Rocky III, seeing them in the theater, but 1 and 2 over the years I saw in the theater through re-releases. So I've had the benefit of seeing all. It's been very lucky to see all of them in the theater. But nice. This one I saw opening night.
Mr. First Nighter.
I'm a Rocky fan, so it's this one was one because it was Rocky. I wanted to see this one in the theater. This is going to be an interesting conversation, this one. There's a lot to discuss.
How about you, Andy?
I didn't see this one in the theater. I don't know why. I think it's because, was it 89, 90? He's wearing a Batman t-shirt, Rocky Jr., isn't he? So maybe I don't know why I didn't see it in the theater. I know I saw 3 and 4. I saw 4 loads of times. Because it was, it's hard to explain to people now how popular 4 was.
Well, and I think 4 was the when top we did box 4, office.
There were people literally sat in the aisles in the cinema that I saw it in. That's crazy. You would not get that anymore. They would not allow that anymore. Health and safety wouldn't allow it for a start. But then I watched it again as a double bill with 3. Oh, so I've seen 3 and 4 at the big screen. That's a great double bill.
Yeah,
But I've not seen any of the others on the big screen, even the new ones. I've always waited till they've come to streaming because I was a bit dubious about Creed.
And I was happily, as well.
We were wrong.
Yeah, when it was first released, I thought I'm not going to see this, and then the advance word came out, and it made me curious. And based upon that curiosity, I went to see it. But if we continue with our Rocky reviews, you know, next we'll get to Rocky Balboa, and then we'll get to the Creed movies. So. For the time being, we could focus on Rocky V. Rocky V, which underneath it on the poster says "Go for it," which is carrying over from Rocky III. I mean, it's really not particularly original. But anyway, my understanding on this, and it is somewhat based on word of mouth more so than actual knowledge, is that Stallone had a contract with whatever production company, maybe it's Golden Globus or whatever, for a certain number of movies. I think it was 5 or 6. He needed one more to complete that, and he was suggesting different things that he could do, including Cobra 2. They said to him, no, you know, we still got this Rocky series. And he wrote a script for this based upon that. That was the darkest possible Rocky script ever, including Rocky dying at the end, which probably would have made this movie look great in comparison, I'm guessing. And apparently some script doctors came in and took over and you know, rewrote 2/3 of the movie, and this is what we got. And we'll talk about the details of it, but that is not necessarily the formula for greatness.
Probably also explains why nothing gets paid off at the end of this one. They don't wrap any. Paulie isn't held to account for anything that he does. He doesn't get out of the situation he's in. He's still, you know, flat broke at the end of it. So there's no resolution to that story. And there's not really any resolution to the your brain damaged and can never fight again. And that's largely ignored in Balboa anyway.
So. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole brain damage thing was one of the things, and you know, I don't even know where I put my notes now, but that was one of the first things I wrote in my notes is they went with the brain damage theory that I guess, you know, kind of, you know, he's taken such a beating in the ring so many times that he doesn't have the capacity that he once did, but instead of showing him as brain damaged, they made it as if, okay, we're just going to return him to his persona from Rocky I before he became more sophisticated. You know, and there was a progression of the character from Rocky I to Rocky II to Rocky III, and then it kind of, you know, he leveled off. He was at the same level in Rocky IV. But he clearly was not a stupid man in Rocky I. He was an uneducated man. And over the course of the movies, he became, you know, he was exposed to more things, and he showed a greater level of sophistication, and a greater level to understand how to go through life. And then this happens, and all of a sudden he's just back to, you know, being a more simple guy. And that did not ring true to me at all. It seemed like just an easy way to return to our roots.
I mean, Avildsen directed this one too, right? I mean, so you bring back the director of the first movie, you're literally going to try to tread the same ground. You're going to put him right back into the crap hole situation that he was in at the beginning. I mentioned this right before we started recording. This is like the first legacy, air quotes, sequel that we got. And it was still during the main time that these movies were being made. Here's our main character. Everybody loves him. Everybody's along for the ride. What can we do to absolutely cut his friggin' legs out from under him just to force drama into a situation and instead of trying to come up with something new and different? And again, as a kid watching it, not my favorite one. Because I want to see Rocky Balboa in the ring. That's where he belongs. Street fight at the end. I'm like, okay, whatever. I think in hindsight, this one has been made slightly better by virtue of the fact that we did get Balboa and then his appearances in the first two Creed movies. That being said, it you're right. It doesn't feel true. And Polly is Polly. I don't really think it's super out of character for him to have made a giant mistake. I mean, his whole life is giant mistakes, and it's him trying to stumble through life, and he wouldn't be anywhere without Adrian and Rocky with him. He'd probably be in jail. But yeah, it's just this something very, very off about this, and it is very much a 1990 movie. We needed to do it. The Reagan era is just about, it's over, and we're going to lean right into this just being a totally different thing, and it's not great.
Building off of your thought process as far as this being like a legacy movie, I also think it's like a direct-to-streaming movie before we get that. Just as far as, because I love this series, and I'd be honest with you, when we were going to do this one, I was thinking to myself, okay, we're going to do the movie that I always groan about watching. But I will say, this is one of those movies where I have such a weird relationship with it, because I've grown, I'm like, oh, all right, I'm watching the whole Rocky series, and I want to watch the whole thing because I want the story, right?
Yep. Yeah, can't really skip it.
So I'm not going to pretend I ignore this one. I don't. I end up watching this one going, okay, that's the one I usually don't like. I do find by the time I'm done with it, I've enjoyed it. Now, that's a big difference between the other movies, which I'm not going to go into because we're not talking about those right now, but these are beloved movies. This is following up 4, though, and you're talking about the sequence where, you know, he's getting bashed in the head and we're having some after effects of that. I actually liked the idea. So when the movie kicks off and we're seeing him after that dramatic movie that we had just seen, shaking and having like an after effect, there was an interesting idea there. This movie has multiple interesting ideas in it, some of which start fleshing out and I'm actually into them, but they don't necessarily go always to a satisfying conclusion, or they have some broken problems along the way.
Yeah, it's all surface.
Because we tried to do so much to this guy. We now have beaten up his head. We've taken care of the financial piece. But even that, I was reading and some of this I pulled from IMDb, the goofs in this one, and some of them are goofs, some of them aren't goofs, but the explanation of Pauly having power of attorney made no sense because he was with Rocky. If you looked at 4, he was with Rocky. Why would you give him power of attorney when the guy was sitting, Rocky was right there with you? Some of that didn't make sense. And there's other pieces like that that didn't ruin my, you know, I wasn't thinking of it when I was watching the film. Admittedly, I wasn't that person, but I'm like, okay, I get why people have some issues with this particular movie, because I mean, granted, they're Rocky movies, which are feel good movies and all that, but the other ones just seem tighter than this.
Yeah. Well, like you said, there's a lot of interesting ideas. If you had just made a movie of the repercussions of his decade in the ring and dealing with that and reconnecting with his son, there's a movie. If you made a movie about him just having the difficulties with his son and training somebody new, that's a movie. If you had a movie just about him losing all of his money and how does he deal with that, that's a movie. There's just too much going on in here. And this is under 2 hours, right? I mean, all the Rocky movies are, you know, relatively short on time, but they managed to get in, say what they need to say, and get out. And this is just bad melodrama most of the time. And I'm saying that as a fan of these movies, which is they're melodramatic.
Well, this is 104 minutes. I think the first two were somewhere around 2 hours each. And then I think from 3, 4 and 5, and I'm not sure.
Real short.
But I think, I think we generally went in the about 100 minute stage for most of those. I think, Chris, I think you had the right terminology when you were talking about it. And I made a quick note just so I didn't forget to say it. You said forced drama. That's what this felt like to me. I thought that was a good description for it. We threw all of these things in. We threw in the brain damage, but we really don't explore it at all. We threw in the bankruptcy, but we don't explore it at all. We threw in the son relationship, which we touch on, but we don't really go too deep into.
No.
You know, there's a lot, like you said, there's too many irons in the fire, basically. But also, it just seems like, What can we do to bring him back to his roots, and we're not going to explore the ramifications of it. So we're going to give him brain damage, and we're going to make him bankrupt, and that's now we have Rocky from the first movie again. No, we don't. But that's what they tried to do, and I think that was foolish. I think that was a mistake. You know, we're going to even bring back Father Carmine, and we're going to have Tommy Gunn fighting in the same church that Rocky fought Spider Rico in the first one. I mean, there's too much forced stuff in there.
It's pandering in all the wrong ways to pander when you're going to do this stuff.
Here's where some of that worked a little bit. When you, in the Tommy Gunn piece, when you were talking about that, a certain amount of the forced feel actually worked to the benefit of what he was doing with Tommy Gunn. So he's trying to live his life through Tommy Gunn and really trying to make Tommy Gunn him. And those pieces where, like, the movie felt like there was forcing certain things, I'm like, well, that actually kind of – and by the way, this sounds like I'm disagreeing with you. I'm not. I actually am nodding along and going, everything you're saying is correct. Sometimes something accidentally works. And I like the fact that he was, like, trying to force Tommy Gunn to be him. So some of the forced aspect of this kind of worked to the advantage of some of the elements I actually quite like. Because I like that Tommy Gunn was ticked and was being manipulated because of the fact that he was becoming, quote unquote, Rocky's robot. So those elements of it kind of worked, because there were things in this I do. I'm not going to lie. There's things in this I like. I just feel like they're not, Chris, like you said before, too much. There was nuggets of really good ideas, some things that were starting to get fleshed out that didn't have the kind of depth that I think we're used to in the Rocky films, and led to certain things. Not this one just wasn't as satisfying. No. And I think it's because I liked certain elements of this. The Tommy Gunn piece, I do like elements of that.
Now, if they had the whole thing with him taking on Tommy Gunn to train him, and Tommy Gunn being impatient because Rocky is trying to be Mickey and he wants Tommy to be Rocky, but he's not. And that the you know, the Don King type comes in there and manipulates him. That would have been a good story. And you know what? Frankly, they could have left out the whole conflict with the son stuff. They could have just had him being a good father and doing that. And his whole goal now, because he's, you know, too old to fight, you know, because George Foreman hasn't really done his whole thing yet. So we haven't seen that. But, you know, this is where he's trying to move on to the next level, and he's stumbling. I think that would have been a really good story. And then his ultimate triumph could be that he wins Tommy over, and then Tommy goes off to have a big-time title fight with Rocky as his trainer. And whether he wins the fight or not, I think you still could have made it an effective feel-good story.
Man, that sounds so good.
Yeah, I think it could have been so much better. And then you could have had the guy trying to manipulate him and getting, you know, working the impatience, and Rocky eventually finding the formula that gets this guy back on his side. You know, but and you know, scenes in there where he's kind of imagining Mickey being there, giving him pep talks is fine, as long as we don't end it with, Mickey loves you, Mickey loves you. Because Mickey doesn't say that. Mickey only says that on his deathbed. He doesn't say it otherwise.
I think the original idea for that was it was going to be like an Obi-Wan Kenobi ghost. And they decided to consolidate all those scenes into one flashback.
I would have loved it if really he was an Obi-Wan Kenobi ghost. I think I would have liked that much better.
He was supposed to be there at the end, the fight at the end. Mickey was supposed to be there, like, use the Force, Rocky. That kind of thing going on. And they decided that was dumb. So they put it all into the flashback.
I don't know. That sounded better and better.
That sounded awesome.
It does, yeah.
But the flashback's really interestingly sharp in that you never actually see Stallone. It is him. Because there's a brief moment where you see the side of his face, but he changed so much between when that flashback was supposed to take place, they couldn't show him. So you end up watching it thinking he's just talking to a stunt double. You don't get what you're supposed to get from it because you're not seeing Rocky reacting to what he's saying because they couldn't do that because Stallone didn't look like he looked in 1978 anymore. So they couldn't do it. But a lot of the things you're saying, I agree completely with Sean. For me, the Rocky films are like Star Trek. I like those actors in those roles. Yeah. And even when it's a lesser, I still don't care because I still like seeing those guys do those things.
Yeah.
My issue with this is everything that Chris just said, that is an interesting premise for a film. That is an interesting premise for a film. Huh? There's too many of them. And the problem I had with the beginning of this, right, okay, he's got this mild form of brain damage. They're not going to let him in the ring again. They actually say to him, you have never been hotter than you are right now. You came out of retirement. You fought for Apollo's honor. You went to fucking Russia and beat a Russian on home turn, on his home ground. You had the Russian audience lapping this up. But you can't fight anymore. But he's hotter than he's ever been. There's millions of ways he could have capitalized on that and made money. He could have just said, all right, I'll sign up and flog Tag Heuer watches. I'll be a spokesman for Nike. He could have done any number of those things. I'll advertise Boss Aftershave. It works for Thor. He could have done any of those things and dug himself out of that hole within four contracts signed.
And the
power of attorney thing is spot on. In real life, that would be Adrian. But they couldn't have Adrian do it because she ain't dumb.
Yep.
So it had to be Paula, even though that doesn't make a lick of sense. It would have made much more sense to not have that be any of it, not have the bankruptcy bit be any of it. You focus on, can't box anymore. What's he going to do? He's building his relationship with his son. He's got to rebuild his relationship with Adrian, really, because he really does want to fight. And it's her that's saying, you can't. And all of that. And then into this comes Tommy Gunn, a protege who reminds him of himself more than his son does. There's your conflict.
Yeah.
But they don't focus. They've got like four great ideas there and thought, let's throw them all in one film.
Yeah, let's take four great ideas and not develop any one of them to be great. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. But I lost myself for a second. Oh yeah, as far as the money earning angle, you're right on the money with that. They throw in like a quick line about how, you know, he tried that before and it didn't work. So they're going back to Rocky II when he couldn't he couldn't articulate his lines. But since then, before he was brain damaged in Rocky III, he's appearing on the Muppet Show. You know, I mean he had that. And there's no reason that he's hotter than ever, as you said. So there's no reason he couldn't have just appeared in print ads. He doesn't have to necessarily be the one doing the line reading or anything like that. Or you even have him on a commercial where he's not the guy who has to speak.
If he was the hottest boxer in 1 does four take place, 87?
86. Let's not get into the chronology of the Rocky movies.
If he's the hottest boxer,
that makes no sense.
If he's the hottest boxer in 1986, as soon as he gets back, he had just like you said, athletic gear, the Rocky weight set, the Rocky boxing gloves, the Rocky trunk, everything, and done. He would have been all set. One contract, he might have had to pare down his lifestyle a little bit, But again, that's not an issue. It does not make sense. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's killing Han so that we have something to bitch and moan about and force drama. Oh, it's Luke Skywalker throwing a lightsaber away right at the beginning. It's all bullshit. I'm sorry.
No, it sounds like Andrew was pointing out something very interesting, though, as far as there was somebody on set that was saying things were dumb, and they were not listening to that person enough. I mean, with the Obi-Wan piece, like, oh, that idea is kind of dumb. It's like, maybe we should have talked to that person a little bit more. Joking aside, though, he makes an interesting point. I do think this feels like a lot of storyboards that like had like, hey, let's take this idea and plug it in. They mashed it all together, and it doesn't have like a cohesive piece. I agree with you, Andrew, though, that this is, for me, this is Star Trek, where I like the characters more than I like the story that's being told with this film. Mm-hmm. Like it's hanging out with characters that I just love. And this film winds up for me getting some extra credit due to that, which is interesting when you're trying to analyze it for this, because I've got to be very cognizant of the film itself versus the fact that I like the people.
Yeah. Well, you can't skip it when you're doing a rewatch of the movies. But you can't.
Let's look at that from that perspective for a moment, or at least I'm going to try and look at it from that perspective, in that, yes, we have Rocky there, who's a character we've learned to love over the last 14 years at this point. And, you know, he's the focus of the movie. So, yeah, obviously, you know, we're gonna go with him. But the other characters that we've come to really care about are Mickey, who's got kind of a bullshit cameo in this movie. We have Adrian, who really doesn't do a heck of a lot. And we have Paulie, who really doesn't do a heck of a lot. So this movie is, not only do I think the script is poor, but it's all on the shoulders of Stallone as Rocky to kind of carry us with our nostalgia through it. I don't think any of the other characters are giving us enough of a performance to make a difference.
I disagree a little bit.
Sure, go ahead. I'll just edit this out.
Yeah. Well, here's my, I want to say a little bit. They have moments that I think could have been much more satisfying. Adrian's stuff where, you know, Rocky is clearly heading down this obsession path of trying to reclaim his glory with Tommy Gunn. You know, they have some very powerful moments together where she is like slapping him upside the head going, you're losing your family. You're ignoring your son in this whole piece. And I thought Sage Stallone, who, you know, and I'm not just saying this because Sage Stallone is no longer with us. I thought as his kid, I thought was doing a good job. It's something to the point of what we're saying here. I wish there had been more of a movie. You know, yeah. if this had been Rocky V and Rocky VI, for example, and they had a chance to flesh out some of these ideas, I thought the kid had a pretty good performance. There were points in time where he's glaring at Dad or having reactions to things that are happening there that I thought were pretty powerful. And I would have wanted to see more of that, because when Rocky and Adrian are having that sequence together, I was actually believing that. He's wrong in his kid. And I thought there was something interesting there. That
he feels like a real kid.
Yeah,
I mean, he does.
He feels like a real kid.
I said Stallone puts in a really good performance.
I think he did as good as you could do as a young kid with the script.
With that script.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think the script with him was kind of stupid. The conflict between him and his father, yeah, go with that. In fact, let's take all the time that we have the other stupid kid from Entourage and get rid of all of that, and let's keep the conflict between father and son. He can talk about, oh, I did this in school, I did that, whatever, but let's have Rocky showing that neglectful side, and let's not worry about the kid steals his coat and then he punches him in the face, now he's his best friend. That was all just so stupid.
Well. It's stupid, right. But that's kids. I mean, I don't really have a problem with that. And the other thing is, I mean, they set up that his son is an art, you know, likes to draw. For all the faults that this movie has, when the two of them are on the top of the steps at the museum and they have their exchange, I'm like, that feels pretty earned, because it seems in keeping with both Rocky as a character and his son, who is clearly much more refined. I mean, his line, you know, I've been running up these stairs for a decade and never knew there was valuable pictures inside. I mean, that is a Rocky line, and that feels on the money. So again, it's such a frustrating movie, because I'm with Sean. Like, I can't skip this one. I'll never watch it in a vacuum. Yes. But if I'm doing my rewatch,
I think also, I think also, but Sean put on the point of Adrian. Adrian's the only one with any balls about standing up to the promoter.
Yeah.
Rocky's just willing to just let it ride, and he's very placid and doesn't really say anything. And it's her who just hangs up the phone on him. It's her that stands up to him. It's her that goes toe-to-toe with him and says he's not doing this. And I think the problem I have, other than there's no boxing in a boxing movie, or no Rocky boxing in it, the fight at the end, he kicks off because he pushes poorly. How much more satisfying would it be if Adrian had showed up, saw what was going on, understands if he takes one hit to the head, one proper hit to the head, he's going down and not getting back up. And she gets in between the two of them and Tommy Gunn hits Adrian.
Yeah.
Or Mr. T comes and tries to pick up Wonder Woman.
Oh.
That's a different film.
Oh, okay. Andy, I think you're on to something.
Rocky's not just taking him out because he's an asshole. He's livid. He's mad.
Yeah, what would it take to get to the point where Rocky's going to risk personal injury, something happening to his wife or his kid?
It's also motivation for the audience to feel to even more so that they want Tommy Gunn put down by Rocky.
Yeah.
So I do think that was, you know, as with many of the bad things that we've reviewed over the years, if they just brought us into the room to do a little script doctoring, we'd fix them.
The problem was they set themselves up for these separate lanes. So Adrian was heavily involved in the fact that we're separated from you, Rocky, right now. I actually agree with everything Andrew's saying. That would have been a much more satisfying help to it. You would have needed to have her more integrated, though, in what was going on with Tommy and the training, because that was Paulie's role in this, because they had this separate track with Sage Stallone's character and Adrian, where they're not connected to any of that. Rocky is separating this life that he's trying to craft, where he's trying to recapture his glory days with Tommy Gunn. And Paulie was actually the gateway for Tommy Gunn to even be a part of that, because Rocky's like, I'm not Mickey. I can't do any training. And Paulie's kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel going, hey, wait a minute. You've actually got a nugget here where if you latch onto this kid who's got some chops, this might be your next phase in life. Paulie was actually pretty brilliant in that. But these are all things that if they had been fleshed out in their own movie, like, had an interesting premise to it. So when Tommy Gunn starts knocking down Paulie, it's like, listen, dude, you're Tommy Gunn. You're knocking down people that were actually helping you get where you are. He wouldn't be where he was if it wasn't for Paulie saying to Rocky, hey, wait a minute, maybe you shouldn't ignore this kid. He can actually do some stuff.
Yeah.
And this might be a job for you. Ignoring the fact that you could have done merchandising.
The other problem with it as well, though, is that Tommy is just so dull. Apollo Creed had charisma and screen presence, and Carl Weathers was a good actor. Mr. T and Dolph Lundgren weren't necessarily good actors at that point, but they had presence. They had a screen presence, a particular Lundgren. When he stood next to Stallone and still had to, like, look up to see, you know, where the her was, there's an on-screen presence there that's interesting. This guy, he's got nothing going for him in his performance. He's got the interesting tragic backstory, which is fine, which explains why he wants to be where he is. And whenever he gets in the ring, he wants to hit his dad. That's something they could have explored a bit more.
Yeah.
But he himself has nothing, which I think is why the promoter ends up being the bad guy of the film, because he is fantastic in there.
Yeah,
he's a great performance from a guy who is literally eating the scenery whenever he appears on screen.
Well, anybody who's old enough to remember Don King and, you know, he's the same. I mean, that's who he's playing, no question about it, except 100%. He just doesn't have the hair that looks like he stuck his finger in electric socket.
It's not that he's dialed up to 11. He's dialed up to, like, 10.25 past Don King. Like, that's how closely it skews to who the actual person is.
But I agree with you totally on Tommy Morrison. He was clearly cast because he was a boxer and he had the look that they wanted, and he was the age that they wanted. And if I'm remembering all the stuff, he was claiming to be related to John Wayne at the time, like a distant relative of his, and used that to kind of get his name out there. And you could see when, you know, when he's boxing in the movie, you know, he's got some smooth moves. He doesn't look like, you know, what's his name, Finn Jones in as Iron Fist trying to do karate moves. But just the same, when he's speaking, he sounds to me like he's memorized his lines and he's repeating them. He doesn't feel natural when he says them. It doesn't sound like he's thinking of them as he says them. He's just, you know, hitting his mark. Don't think he was a good actor at all, and he had a strange life after this, let's just say that.
Yeah.
Stallone was trying to sell them as brothers. You know, I mean, like, and I think Rocky was doing this Admiral, really trying to oversell. We were supposed to be brothers, we were that.
It was Anakin and Obi-Wan.
But the imagine how much better that turn would have been if we loved Tommy Gunn before that.
And they shouldn't have been sold as brothers. They should have been sold as father and son, like Mickey and Rocky.
Right. But or, I mean, like, in any case, when that turn happens, you're like, now you're hating him. Like, instead of just disliking him because you're kind of like, he's kind of meh anyway. If you hate him, you're like, dude, we loved you. What are you doing? Why would you do this? That emotion would have been huge for this. And that was something that it did make me mad. And the street fight at the end, I actually quite enjoy. But
that I can watch
how much more satisfying that would have been if you hated him. I mean, really hated this man for what he did.
Yeah, it's just he's just such a nothing. It's he's a mayonnaise sandwich on white bread with nothing else. And it's just.
The street fight at the end is the whole, to me, it's the elephant in the room. So let's hit on this one, because I have always thought, since the very first time I saw it, I thought this was just so much asking you to strain your ability to forget reality, because they have a TV crew there. Everybody's watching it on TV like it's a pay-per-view event, and the police never come. To break this thing up?
I thought exactly the same thing, though, Paul. What did the police start showing up? Or if they did, what would have been funny is if they did and just went, just watch this for a bit.
You know what? If they had done that, it would have seemed more realistic. If the police came, you know, one patrol car comes because it's called to the scene, and the guy comes out and says, you know, to the young, you know, the more seasoned cop says to the younger one, let them fight it out. I would have been more accepting of that than I am that they just had, like I said, they had this fight. It was almost like a pay-per-view event on TV, and everybody's just letting it go. My ring's out in the street. You know, that's just so stupid.
I believe the line is, my ring's outside. You got it right. Come on, even if this is not my favorite one, I still know
it was so straining reality to me that I found it hard to even watch, honestly. I couldn't just get by it.
This 120-page script needed another month of just, let's just poke holes in everything that we can here and what's going to stay and what's going to go. And if that was how you want, you know, because ostensibly this was going to be the end of the series, and it was for a long time. I think you would have tried to put more time and effort into it than this just seeming like Rocky : contractual obligation. You know, which is, the more that we talk about it, and the more I think about it over the last 30 years, that's really what it feels like. And it's just, let's get in, get out, get it done, make what money we can. The character's retired. Like, which, I mean, fair play.
What Paul says there about the ending as well, what I like about it is he's deliberately goading him to fight him in the street because he doesn't want the promoter to make any money off it.
There you go.
Again, that's an idea that's there that they don't explore.
You know,
if he fights him in the ring, that guy's got what he wants.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of it from that perspective because they didn't, you know, maybe either I was too brain damaged to pick it up, or they didn't show it quite, you know, clearly enough that, you know, hey, you know what, I'm not giving you what I want, but I'll fight this guy. I think that would, you know, a simple line there would have at least made that clear for me. But now that you say it, yeah, I think that's showing Rocky, you know, to have a little bit more credibility for intelligence, which is something they're not giving him in this movie.
Well, he's always been street smart. He's not book smart. He can read, for the most part, he can read people and he knows how to interact with people, you know? I mean, and that goes back to the first one. He's not an asshole. He's a guy that has a job as a leg breaker for a bookie, but that's not him. I mean, literally doing that to pay the bills. He doesn't want to actually hurt anybody and he doesn't even really want to hurt anybody in the ring. It's just that that's the only thing he's good at, so that's what he's going
to
do.
But that goes to what I said at the beginning.
What I liked about the leg breaker thing, though, was they referenced that. And that is something they never referenced in the previous two. I think when we talked about four, I think Chris and I said, surely at some point, now that he's a massive star, somebody's going to have dug into his background and said, well, so Rocky, at some point you were a loan shark guy?
You know what? I can honestly believe that would not have been something that would have held him back. I remember in the 80s boxers that, you know, it was a big deal. Oh, he did time in this prison and he did time in this prison and nobody cared. They would still become celebrities. Mm. But the whole Rocky still being street smart goes to conflict again with the brain damage thing. You know, again, we're saying, oh, he's brain damaged. He's just become less sophisticated. He hasn't had more trouble thinking at all. He's just less sophisticated again. You know, it doesn't, the brain damage does not play in this.
No. I could see when you get back to your roots, you might be, all right, well, I don't have the silk suits to wear anymore around in the neighborhood. Maybe I need to tone down the way I've been for the last couple of years because I'm back in this situation and that is not going to fly with these people. So I can kind of see that as he wants to be able to fit back into where he was and not ruffle any feathers, you know. But
one of the few things I can point to that I did like and I thought they could have played even a little further was after Tommy basically rejected him, and then he's in the ring fighting. Rocky is showing pride in what the guy's doing, and he's rooting for him because that's Rocky's nature. And everybody else is disgusted by him, and they're kind of angry at Rocky for rooting for him. And I like that.
Rocky's living that, though. It's one of the pieces. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, but adding on to that, when he's punching that punching bag, he is almost mirroring every punch that Tommy's doing in those sequences,
which is showing you that Tommy picked up the training from Rocky and learned how to mirror Rocky's moves.
Right. And in Rocky's case, this is as close as he's going to get to being in that spot again. It's an example of something where in isolation, I really liked that. It was actually a really good scene, and the family reacting to the actual hit of the punching bag, like they're looking at him and just kind of going, whoa. So it's another layer of they don't like Tommy, and also, like, look what's going on. Look how obsessed Rocky is and how locked Rocky is in trying to recapture his glory with this guy. He's missing out on all of these other things. They're ideas that were interesting that, like, were ready to be fleshed out. And that it's probably the area where if I'm most irritated about certain things, it's like – it's stuff like that where I'm like, that's brilliant. That actually is really cool. You didn't do what you could with it. Because that sequence had so much emotion behind it that could have built to something. I really do feel like this is two movies that should have been separated.
Well, another thing.
Like, that goes to what Paul was saying earlier on about the brawl at the end not feeling real. Rocky IV is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. But
it's meant to be. That's what we love about it. We love Rocky IV because it's ridiculous. This is trying to be a serious family drama.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're trying to do a serious family drama that ends up with that brawl at the end, and like Paul said, where are the police? It doesn't fit. Tonally, it doesn't work in the movie that it's in. And that's the entire film in a nutshell. It's less than the sum of its parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's another scene that I just felt could have been much better if it was developed differently, was after Tommy wins the title, and then he's having a press conference, and everybody in the audience just starts acting like an idiot. Well, you didn't fight Rocky! It did not feel natural. It did not feel right. It did not feel like the way the press conference would go. This is a Rocky movie. We can get away with montages whenever we want. They could have shown the post fight thing with some news broadcasts where they were saying, well, he's always going to be in the shadow of Rocky Balboa or whatever, you know, and just giving that and showing his frustration with it and build that frustration building and building to the point where, you know, the what's his name? The Don King guy is able to, what's it? The Don King guy's name is Duke, right? Which is also, Tony Burton's part in the movie. He's also Duke. But anyway, it would have shown him, you know, how he had the ability to manipulate him to go to the bar and challenge Rocky and all of that. And I think that would have been more of a realistic development for me than there's one press conference where they just call him a loser. I think a lot of this, honestly, falls on the head of not only the script, which we've talked about, but Avildsen. You know, he has shown himself to be a competent director with, you know, the first Rocky movie and with Karate Kid.
Karate Kid.
But it seems
to me, he should have known better.
But it seems to me like you don't give him the right script and he's not going to make a bad script better.
No. And again, you have to start from a script, and a script can be massaged and it can be fiddled with while you're actually acting it out. But if the bones aren't there, I mean, you're toast. Are you paying attention, Disney? So it all goes back to that, because all of these actors by this point knew their roles. I mean, they could have showed up on set and it probably had a smooth filming experience. And if you had given them better material to work with, it would have been even better, because all these guys, it was old hat for all of them by this point. They all knew where they needed to be and how to get across who these characters are. And it just, everything just, for every good moment, there's something that just falls flat and you go, this doesn't feel right.
Yeah, you know what? Ultimately, I think, and I don't know this for a fact, again, I'm speculating, but I get the feeling it was like, let's rush to get this out. And I think exactly if they had spent a little bit more time putting it together, maybe even, you know, I don't know what the budget was. Let me take a quick look here.
It's a Rocky movie. The budgets aren't going to be massive anyway.
$42 million, which is, you know, at the time, that's a decent sized budget. It's not.
And I'm sure most of that was Stallone's paycheck. Yeah.
So, you know, add a little bit to the budget to do, like I said, montage scenes or whatever that you wanted to smooth it out a little bit. You know what? Rocky 3 and Rocky 4 showed that, you know, you smooth it out, make it a little bit more bubblegummy, it works. It worked for the formula that they had. You didn't have to go down and dirty, which is what they feel like they're doing here, except they're just doing a poor job of it. And I think if they had spent a little bit more time with just quality control on the script and on the performances and just a little bit on the direction, I think this would have been a much better movie than it was.
It was an unsatisfying send-off at the time for a major pop culture character.
And it's amusing that when Rocky Balboa was coming out, and we'll get to that one eventually, but when that was coming out, Stallone basically decried this one, saying, oh, you know, the audience, we couldn't let the character go out on that note or whatever. But I think when this came out, he was pumping it just like anybody else was. So it's a little revisionist history, though, by him. I don't think he had the self-awareness. I think he heard from the audience what they thought of it, and then he distanced himself from this one.
I had heard somehow that they were going to kill Rocky in this one.
That was his original plan.
Yeah, but I mean, when I walked in 1990 to this film, it was, which is an interesting time in 1990, you're not catching the internet and things like that. I don't know how I heard it, but I heard that the thing out there was that Rocky was going to die in this. I will say I walked into this film, and I'm at the time seeing it, I remember that had given this some extra credit. I was walking in deeply worried they were going to kill Rocky at the end of this. And it's interesting when you have that kind of cloud hanging over you, and it's a beloved character. I didn't want to see that. And it's part of the problem is they course corrected, or I guess course corrected certain things. And you had a film that was building towards a crescendo that then they weren't going to do. There's so much with this that it just seemed like throwing darts at a dartboard. I think the ending winds up having that same sort of problem of not having this satisfying wrap-up that is interesting.
Yeah, I also don't understand the incessant need to humble or cripple beloved characters. Yeah. And if you're going to kill a character in a movie, it has to be earned. There are heroic deaths in movies that matter, that you care about, right? But killing Rocky Balboa serves no purpose. Like, what? I mean, maybe if he was jumping in front of a bus to stop a kid from getting run over, and even that would feel friggin' stupid in this series. There's no need to do that. If you don't want to use a character anymore, don't use them. They don't have to die. Like, it's just, once you be original, come up with a different story in your own characters and go off and do your thing. I mean, that is the mark of a, you know, a writer or a creative person. Sorry, I'm getting on my old man's soapbox here because the last 8 years of popular filmmaking have kind of sucked the wind out of my sails to a certain degree. Thank God for that new Apes movie.
To your point, though, could you imagine if that was the end of Rocky? He was killed by Tommy Gunn in the streets.
But I think, you know, he originally wrote the script where Rocky does die at the end, and I don't know if it was that he got killed by Tommy in the streets, but I think they let the rumors continue that that's the script and what it was, so that people who go in think, oh my God, they're going to end this with Rocky dying, and somehow, through rumor and innuendo, they've created tension for that fight scene that doesn't really exist in the actual movie.
Yeah. I guess it worked for Star Trek, too.
But you know what? You guys, I'm going to go back a little bit, because you guys on a couple occasions have compared this to Star Trek. You know, and I think, you know, popular thought process of the original Star Trek's crew is Star Trek V is the worst movie. Star Trek V has serious weaknesses. No question about it. I'm not going to defend it in that respect. But I still feel like I'm sitting there with these characters that I love, and I'm watching them. And honestly, anytime I'm flipping through the channels and Star Trek V is on the TV, I'll stop and I'll watch it. This does not feel to me like that. This does not feel like I'm having a visitation with characters that I love. And quite frankly, if I see it on, when I'm flipping through the channels, this is running on TBS, I might still keep going.
Wow. Yeah, this is probably the only one where if it pops up, I don't feel the compelled need to watch this one by itself. I can't. There's not enough there for me in those hour and 45 minutes to where it's like, oh, this is a good point, I can jump in and watch that. Because like we said, for every one good thing that happens, the next scene is going to be something that's just crap, and I don't have it in me. If I'm going to throw Balboa on right afterwards, sure, go for it.
That's where this is Star Trek V for me, though. Because okay. I like Star Trek V, but Star Trek V is the same thing. Like, I don't like go, hey, it's a Saturday afternoon, I'm not doing anything, let me plop on Star Trek V for comfort.
Oh boy,
I can honestly do that.
Now, if I'm doing a rewatch of the Star Trek movies, I've got to watch V. For the same reason that we're talking about watching this one, I like hanging out with the cast. There's scenes in Star Trek V I love. There's like certain campfire bits and stuff like that.
Everything with the big three is.
Yeah, so I don't want to. I mean, I could. We could have a whole side conversation.
We may eventually do that, but that's
yeah. So I would love to have that conversation. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but this movie is that for me in the sense that there were enough scenes here with these characters in isolation that I liked. I do feel like this would have been better served as a streaming miniseries where they could have fleshed out some of this stuff than as a film, which didn't exist at the time, so I'm throwing out things that just couldn't happen.
It's an interesting concept. I didn't like this movie, but if they made it longer, you don't see that too much.
It's not just making it longer. It's taking the ideas that work and fleshing them out a bit.
I know.
There's an argument to be made that a director's version of this one may be better than a director's version of Four.
I'd love to see what hit the cutting room floor on this one.
I really enjoyed the director's version of Four, which we did discuss about a year ago.
I love that. I love that Creed 2 made him go back and look at the most comic book version of the Rocky series and go, do you know what? I can make this one a bit more like the others. Just through editing and returning to scenes that I previously cut.
One of the, go ahead.
But I like both versions of Rocky 4. I think Rocky IV is great. I'm kind of with Sean. If it's on, unless it's the fight at the end, I'm not leaving this one off. And even that, I've got to say, I don't think it's as well choreographed as the others. It's not as much fun as the one in 4. It's not as realistic as the one in 1 and 2. And it's not got Mr. T in it, so it's definitely not as good as the one in 3. My issue with it as well, is the music sucks.
Well, I mean, when you get Elton John to do your big theme song, I mean,
they've got theme, and that's nice to hear that again, and they bring back Adrian's theme, and it's nice to hear that again. But I am expecting it's a fight to come in. Dun, 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 and it doesn't. And even the songs in this one are shit, aren't they? Let's be honest.
Yeah, they are.
There's no Eye of the Tiger. There's no Burning Heart. There's no Easy Way Out. There's not even a Take You Back. And even Gonna Fly Now doesn't get a lot of play in this one. So you've not even got that feeling of family and familiarity to it. Well, at least the music, though, because music's important in that regard.
Yeah.
And a quality soundtrack will be one that's timeless.
This is of its time.
Yes, very much so. Actually, when I was watching this through for the purpose of this discussion, I will admit it felt dated, which is interesting to say that it's not that old of a film. It kind of is. It's not.
You're absolutely right. It's weird.
Your perspective, this might be an old film, might not be older film, and it might not be. But
this feels more dated very much than 4.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. So 4, I can whack that soundtrack on to go running to any of it. I can listen
still
to
trying the to track down
I can listen
of...
to the Carlos score. Yeah. I can listen to the song. I can go running to it, and it's brilliant. The same with the Rocky compilation they did when Balboa came out, where they've got all of Bill Conti's choice cuts, mm-hmm. and there's one remix of Gonna Fly on there that's no, skip that. But the rest of it, brilliant to exercise to. It's telling that on that compilation, nothing from 5 is on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree totally. I think we may have beaten this horse to death, but if there's anything, anybody has any other points before we rate this?
I don't know. I think we've already given, we've given over an hour to a film that is
given Rocky V more thought than the producers did.
When we often say films are unfairly maligned, I'd say that this one is fairly maligned for good reasons.
Yeah. Well, like Sean said earlier, I just love seeing Stallone as Rocky.
Yeah, me too.
I do too, but it's not enough for me, frankly. And I struggled thinking about this one. I was like, do I give this a Rocky 3? A Jaws 3? if I gave it the Rocky, I could give 5 ratings. But anyway, but do I give it a Jaws 3 saying, it wasn't good, but it's got some rewatchability because of the characters or whatever? Do I say it's a Jaws 4 because it's just a bad movie? Or do I say it's a Jaws, whatever it is, 19, because it's so bad that it's funny? It's not funny, so I eliminate Jaws 19 from it there. The stupidity in it is stupid, and it doesn't make me laugh. And frankly, the nostalgia wasn't enough. Stallone wasn't enough for me in this, so I'm giving this a Jaws 4. I think this is just a bad movie, and there's so many areas where it could have been made better. There are so many things about it that really just could have stepped it up and made this part of the beloved, whatever it is now, however, I was going to say trilogy, but it's a, there's now, what is it?
It's nine.
There's six and three. So it's part of a beloved nineology. But honestly, if I was doing a rewatch from the beginning to the end, I could skip over this one. I could watch 1 through 4, go to Rocky Balboa, and then go with the Creed movies, and I will not feel like I missed out on anything. So fair I'm up. Saying Rocky 4 on this. Jaws 4 on this.
We actually have the same struggle for opposite reasons. And as you were explaining your reasoning for thinking it's Jaws 4 and feeling that's right for you, I'm like, I have no argument for that at all. I think you're absolutely correct. For me, it's a very low Jaws 3. And the reason being, I don't think it's a good movie. But I will not skip it when I do a rewatch. And that's not because I'm trying to punish myself. I actually do like hanging out with the characters. And there's certain sequences in this I enjoy. I wish it was a whole film that felt that way. I wish it was up there with the others in the series, because this would be a very different conversation about how cool this movie is. But I'm giving it a low Jaws 3 because that's where I think we're in different places, and that's okay. I think for people listening to this, if you're kind of like me and you find like hanging out with these characters as comfort food, I think there's elements of that in this that do make it worth kind of edging it over, but I agree it's a bad movie. So it's a very low Jaws 3 for me.
I'll let Andrew go.
Okay. I'm in total agreement with Sean, which is weird because we've never even spoke before. So, love you. Yeah, it's 3, and it's for all the same reasons Sean just said. Like Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry and the original Star Trek guys, I don't really care about the quality of the film. I'm hanging out with those actors playing those characters. It's easily the worst of the 6 or the 9. I don't think any of the 4 of us here would even argue that. I don't think any of us have come to the table to argue a case. Well, yeah. I don't think any of us have come to the table to argue a case for this film. It is undeniably the weakest of the lot. But I love Stallone as Rocky. More than anything else he's done, I just love him as this character. And I love the character of Rocky Balboa for all the reasons we've discussed. He's a bruiser, but he's such a nice guy. Even as he's pummeling you in the ring, he doesn't want to. But that's his job, and that's what he's good at. But once he gets out of that ring, he holds no grudges, and he takes none of that with him. He has no animosity in him. He has no hate in his heart for anybody. He's just the nicest character I think you've ever had in that has helmed a film franchise like this. He's just the loveliest man in the world, and it's just that perfect marriage of that guy playing that character at that time in his life. And for that, I'm gonna go 3 as well.
All right, so I'm gonna get into some semantics here. I'm always up for semantics. In a vacuum, this is a Jaws 4. There's no argument to be made. There's just too much wrong and not enough right, from script to performance to music, everything, from a bunch of seasoned actors and producers and directors. That being said, in a rewatch of this series, at this point in time, because of what has finally transpired afterwards, I have to give it a Jaws 3. And I know that's splitting hairs, really, like splitting the smallest of hairs. But again, as much as I do have problems with this, like everybody else, I love hanging out with these characters too. And I can't not watch it if I'm doing a watch of all the films. So there you go.
You know, several years back, Scott Gardner and I had a discussion about guilty pleasures. And I don't remember what movie we were talking about, but I was saying it was a guilty pleasure. And Scott's response to
no me, such thing, man.
Scott's response to me was, I don't feel guilty about anything I like. I couldn't care less about that. And I said, no. That's not the way I define guilty pleasures. To me, I define it as, I know objectively this is bad, but I enjoy it anyway. I don't care about if anybody else thinks badly of me because I like something. I couldn't care less. So there is no true guilt about it. It's just, again, I know objectively this is not good, but I like it anyway. And I think that's where the three of you are falling, you know, that definition, where it is a guilty pleasure for you. And if I'm wrong, tell me. For me, there's enough content in the other 8 movies that I don't need this one.
And that's totally reasonable too. I can get why people would skip this one. It is not the fist pumping feel good, let's roll right into the next one movie like the rest of them are. Because I mean, the first time you watch the first Rocky at any age, you're like, oh, God, is there going to be a rematch? I have to know. And then you watch the second one, and it's all, it is the culmination. I mean, the series could have ended there, and it would have been a brilliant two-film set. But thank God we got more.
Well, they made it very, very clear at the end of the first one. There ain't going to be no rematch.
Well, yeah, I mean, money talks and bullshit walks, man.
You know, it's I'm looking forward to getting the three of you back here soon to do Rocky Balboa. I saw that in the movies. I remember I enjoyed it. I don't think I've seen it from beginning to end since then.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really? I watched it just 2 weeks ago.
Oh, it's so good.
So I'm looking forward to sitting down, watching it from beginning to end with my critic hat on and seeing exactly what I think of it and seeing what I do. I'm probably going to have to watch it two or three times between now and when we review it just so that I can get all my thoughts.
That will not be a hardship.
I don't think it will. But, you know,
everything that this one tries to do to harken back to the first one and fails, that one does perfectly.
But don't give away too much 100%. Yet. We're going to have to review it.
I'll be sure.
But thank you guys for coming on here, and I'm looking forward to the next time.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And thank you, everybody, thank you very much. Listening. So we'll see you in 2 weeks, and somewhere not too long from now, you're going to hear us talking about Rocky Balboa. Bye-bye.
Get up, you son of a bitch! As Mickey loves you. Okay?
Thanks, Mick.
All right.
I love you, too.
See you soon.